CliffCentral.com.
Billions and 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 billions
lovely summer's day. And when we drove in this morning, both Sia and I found Ben sitting on the pavement like a homeless man.
Oh,
busy time-lapse filming the sunrise.
Yeah.
Hmm. How did it turn out? All right?
Not sure. I haven't looked yet.
Oh. So it might be horrible.
Well, I take a variety of time lapses, you know. I need such things with my filmmaking, my video
yes,
making.
Yes, absolutely.
Was it worth it?
It's always worth it, yeah.
Okay.
Because if it's bad, then you learn why it's bad, then you carry on.
So
it's good, it's good.
Please tell me none of you are doing this Movember shit.
Does it look like we are?
No, I'm curious, because there are people who are doing it.
If you squint, there's a peach fuzzy situation going on with you, Ben.
Yeah, all over. Oh. I've just got a Tom Selleck on.
Oh, okay. No, I can't grow a moustache, guys. Remember, I'm still 7.
Yeah, you are probably about 7. How are you allowed to work? Isn't it slave labor or child labor or something if we make you work?
But I do have the tiny hands, so I'm nimble.
The tiny hands.
I don't think we should be bringing it up if it is, Gareth. Let's just keep capitalizing on it.
No, listen. Are people still doing Movembers? That's still a thing.
It's a good question, because I think Movember was always just for the wrong reasons. No one ever gave money to charity.
No. It's just all about like them growing a moustache. Yeah. They wanted to look creepy.
And they did well.
Mm-hmm.
I know a friend of mine on Facebook. He updates his Movember pictures and then always has the link for donating, because he is actually raising money.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So he's good for him.
Good guy.
Yeah.
What's the entire premise of it?
So ball cancer and cancer for men, that kind of stuff.
Ball cancer.
So by having a moustache, again, this all started in Australia where this is part of their culture. By having a moustache, you then raise awareness for the fact that men get cancer and have issues that should be made public. And, you know, there's people out there who need support.
Yeah. Part of their culture.
And that's why people have the moustache.
I get the awareness part of it, but how do you raise money?
Yeah, please. It's
no listen, one actually does.
It's like these people who go for a run or they get on a bike and they do what they would have done in any case, and then they make everyone else raise money on their behalf, but they just ride the bike, which they were going to do anyway.
Ugh,
don't do this. Let me tell you something. There's a big scam. It's like the lotto. Don't do this. Stupid. And I know there are well-intentioned people out there who do it. Right? Mm-hmm. And they mean well. They want it like your friend. Good for him.
Yeah.
But he's still asking other people to donate. You want to fucking help? Donate yourself.
Well, Gareth, if you don't have money to donate what you want, then...
Then don't get involved. You can't help anyone. You don't have money.
All right. So you're a real glass of optimism this morning.
Glass half full here.
I went to the... there's this place down the road. There's this woman. She's just started her own business. She's a chartered accountant. She worked for a bunch of big auditing firms for a long time. Very smart woman. Decided to start her own men's shirts business.
Oh, men's shirts.
Yeah, tailored men's shirts.
Men's do like shirts.
Yeah, and what happens is that you go in and then she does like a few measurements and pins the shirt and makes sure it fits you properly, and then she churns one out. And the reason I was going was because I've got this wedding in December and a friend of mine is having all of his groomsmen, among whom I am one,
nice,
have these tailored shirts made. So I got talking to her. I said to her, you know, I hope your business is a huge success, because it takes a brave person to hire a little office, start making stuff, to believe in your vision here, to see a gap in the market, which she has.
Mm.
I said, I hope you end up with a sweatshop with thousands of children making shirts.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice thing to say. Yeah.
Isn't that a nice thing to say?
Well wishes.
Isn't that a great thing to tell? I thought of great wishes. I walked. She, you know what she said? She said, "I hope so too."
Nice.
I said, "You are on your way, my friend, to being a capitalist and making a ton of cash at the same and
providing and, opportunity for kids, yeah,
and taking those children who'd be on the street, giving them work with their little hands, sewing tiny little cuffs onto shirts or whatever it is they do."
You know, I'm no specialist of capitalism or the free market, but I have a fair idea that when you teach a kid a work ethic, that kid is set for life.
That's true.
I was taught a work ethic.
Yeah.
Okay. But does it have to be that drastic?
Sure. Well, what do you want, sir? Do you want milk and nap time first? And you end up like Gord.
Oh, shame. Speaking of Gord, he was meant to see... I wasn't going to bring this up.
How's that segue?
I wasn't going to bring this up, but... In case you tuned in this morning, let's say you're a huge Gord Laws fan and you were hoping to hear Gord. Well, me too.
Hashtag me too.
You know what? I got such a slew of messages from Gord. I don't even know where to start with this. Let me see if I can read these to you. Oh, my God. It was sad.
Is it that much of a slew?
Oh, you have no idea. So he sends me this. Look at this. Look at this.
Oh, look at that slew. Gosh, like a gushing torrent.
My response to Sia's invitation, I've missed you guys more than you know. I mean, he's talking like we're his girlfriend. I was so excited. I'm terrified you guys are going to get tired of my ongoing absenteeism and not want me back.
Oh, God, that happened about a month ago. We declared as much.
I tried to tell them I would work Thursday to Monday because I had a Wednesday appointment, but they said only the blah, 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 blah. I have to go to this meeting. Sorry again. Things
who is he working for? The Third Reich. These people have.
Wow. No woman, the woman with the compassion. Shirt.
Wow.
Telling you. Ay, ay, ay.
I believe in him, Shem. I say with a Shem afterwards. He'll come right sometime soon.
Listen, so many people have just. I don't know if you listened to Julius in Parliament yesterday. He said some things a lot of people were talking about, and we'll get to those this morning. Mm. There's an election result slew pouring in as well this morning from the US. Talk about that.
I saw one headline said pandemonium in Parliament yesterday. There was so much going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm going to listen to it for the first time with you this morning. You probably didn't listen either. Who cares about Parliament, right?
But I was trying to deal with that, and then you were speaking about earlier, you know, people on bicycles raising money.
Hmm.
And I was just minding my own business at home in the afternoon. I was not really feeling well. I was nursing a headache, just going about the house. Then I get a knock on the door, and it's now our community association people.
Oh no, they knock on your door?
They're coming around to tell everyone that our streets will be closed because of cyclists in the next couple of days. Other people, yeah, it's that big one, and they're raising money, and they'd just like to know if we can get involved. I'm like, no.
Don't involve
me.
If you want to help people, like, donate your money or your time. I'm so. You know what?
No.
I've had enough of charity. I'm a nice guy. I support a couple of really good causes, but I quietly go about that. It's none of anyone else's business. Mm. I'll tell you something. Everyone in this country does something good. That's we've got good people, right?
We do.
I don't know who. I don't know where. I don't know why. But God bless you if you're doing good work. These people who go around expecting everyone else to do the good work for them, and then they say, oh, well, I'm trying to raise money for... You're not! You're not raising anything. You're asking other people to give you money.
Don't get me involved. The reason why I don't feel bad is because I know not to toot my own horn, but to toot. Because I know I'm a good person.
Yeah.
And now I don't need to sacrifice my Sunday to stand and to facilitate things.
That's going to some cycle race or... walking around the block and you think you're a fucking hero.
Well, this is how they justify it, though. They were saying to me yesterday, well, in any case, the streets are closed on Sunday, so you can't go anywhere.
So you're trapped. All right, so what they're trying to tell you, by the way, we're gonna lock you down anyway.
Yeah.
Since you can't go anywhere, you might as well be productive.
Yeah.
So since you can't go anywhere, we may as well also take up your time and your money and spoil your Sunday. Because you're going to be locked in anyway.
Oh, not happening at all.
I got to get Ranjini Moonsami in here. She's clearly like losing her mind, and I think she needs a stabilizing influence. I'm going to be the rudder on her ship when she next comes in here. Ranjini has gone completely off the reserve. Oh. Listen to this. She tweets this out yesterday. She's talking about Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
All right. And remember Mobile's call yesterday?
Yes.
I would love Mobile to tweet Ranjini back and just address each of these issues. All right. Donald Trump is a racist. We don't have any proof of that. That is something everybody's claiming all the time. Show me one occasion where Donald Trump has been racist. Show me one occasion where he's been blatantly, obviously, don't look for racism where it doesn't exist, because then that makes me think there's some kind of sociopathy in there.
Sociopathy?
So you're a sociopath.
Oh, okay.
You're trying to find bad in other people to assuage your own guilt. Stop it. This throwing around of racism has watered it down to the point where it no longer has any value. So don't call people racist. Unless you have evidence that they are preventing another race from succeeding, or saying things that are downright denigrating, vicious, unacceptable, cruel, and negative, and you could prove that they discriminate on a daily basis and that they try to harm people in other race groups, don't say it. You are watering down the word. You're making it meaningless. And racism is a real problem. Stop it. She says he is a racist. Wrong. Sexist. Well, you know what men of his generation tend to be, because when they grew up, women weren't important. They didn't have an important job. Women were not considered to be of status when Donald Trump was born in the 20s or whenever he was born. He's an old fuck. Of course he understands things in terms of that dimension. That's how he grew up. In your formative years, Ranjini, you thought the ANC were great. Well, you've come up for a big lesson in your life, haven't you? Admit it. Imagine if we still judged you on the Friends of Jacob Zuma. Huh? That's what you did. Imagine us still judging you on that. Donald Trump, sure, Marla Maples and Ivana, his previous wife, and the beauty pageants. And you could say he's a sexist. He's not going around hurting women on purpose. All right? And when he talks about Stormy Daniels being horseface, that's because she went after him, after he paid her money to shut up. That's called breaking a deal. Doesn't make him a sexist. He hates a whole lot of men too. Have you heard what he called Ted Cruz? Lying Ted Cruz? No, he's done an about turn on that. So the one thing you do get right is he is a liar. Donald Trump's a big liar. But what he's realized is all these other politicians, they lie 20% of the time, 30% of the time. He said, well, fuck it, I'm going to take it to 100. Because nobody cares what I say anyway. I'll prove that I can get elected as president without having to tell the truth. And guess what? He's proven it.
Mm.
Right? So he is a liar. Shallow, yes. Self-absorbed, yes. But why are those bad qualities? You could be considered that if you're a journalist. You're an attention-seeking journalist. You write. You get paid for your thoughts. That's a bit attention-seeking, if you ask me. A little bit self-absorbed. You have to be.
Mm.
I know I am. He's promoted the rise of the right wing. Nonsense. Donald Trump has distanced himself from these alt-right people virtually for the entire duration since he became president. He's made every effort to turn his back on these people, and he said it clearly. He has promoted the rise of right-wing nationalism and terrorism. He's promoted terrorism? Really? Are you talking about the Democrat pipe bomber the other day whose bombs didn't go off for anyone and who turns out to be a total lunatic and would have done that anyway without Donald Trump? He hated Donald Trump, just by the way. Look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. Done a bit of research. He has undermined international diplomacy. Do you mean that he's gone to the countries like North Korea and countries like Saudi Arabia and Russia and made relations with them worse? I beg to differ. Which countries has he made relations with worse? Started a stupid trade war, which is benefiting the United States economy, and called our continent a shithole. Well, out of all the countries on this continent, how many of them do you consider success stories, Ranjini? His presidency is a joke. No, you don't like him. You've totally lost the ability to be objective about this guy. You're too emotional about him. You sound hysterical. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. You're a proper journalist. I know you. I trust your words. You're the kind of person I like to follow. I read your stuff. It's good stuff. You talk shit like this, you undermine your own writing. Stop talking shit. You're attention-seeking by rabbiting on about Donald Trump. It makes you sound like you're obsessed. And you are. Most of the mainstream media are obsessed with him. They can't get enough of him. Stop it. I don't wake up in the morning and think about Donald Trump or go to sleep at night thinking about Donald Trump. Ask yourself why you do. Got a problem.
Are there not bigger things to worry about in our own country?
Really? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And this was all in response to someone's tweet asking her what exactly isn't making Donald Trump's presidency great.
Well, you see, you ask that of someone who's already ideologically opposed to him. And look at how they go off. It's like you've set fire to a stick of dynamite. No way can you have a normal conversation with someone about this. It's like having a conversation with the EFF about race. You know it's going to go badly.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, you've basically lit their fuse. You've said to them, you've brought up all their daddy issues. You've brought up all their left-wing political ideology, which is failing everywhere it tries to make itself ascendant. And then they get upset, so they take it personally. I'm talking now about the EFF. So Julius went on about whiteness again. I mean, he really does hate white people. There's no two ways about it. Whether you believe Donald Trump is a racist, which Ranjeni does, or you believe Buyiseni Ndlozi and Julius Malema are racist. I mean, the words and the deeds will prove it. Imagine Donald Trump going up and singing a song, "Kill the Blacks." That would be considered way worse than anything he's ever said. Imagine Donald Trump saying he's going to cut the throat of blackness. I mean, then you would be well within your rights to say he's a racist, right? Totally. But Julius says these things, and there's still people, I know white people, smart white people, who still think, oh no, that's perfectly acceptable to say we will cut the throat of whiteness. Unbelievable. He's got such an issue. He's so obsessed with white people. Like Ranjeni's obsessed with Donald. Like Donald is obsessed with Stormy Daniels. All these people letting us into their crazy psychology. It's bad. It's bad, bad, bad. So Buyiseni tweets out to somebody, "I think you're the one whose existence and privilege rests on racist policies that Malema and his black people. I like the way the EFF claim all the blacks belong to them. This is something we must be very wary of, this collectivist nonsense. As if there aren't black people who oppose the EFF, as if the only real black people are the ones who support them."
Yeah, they've made that very clear.
I mean, that's so patronizing. Can you imagine me appointing myself the spokesperson of all males? Outrageous. No one appointed me the spokesperson. You guys got 13% in the last poll, and you've got under 10% in the last election. You don't represent any
but
fucking body.
Speak for
yeah, you think you speak all. For all the yeah. blacks. Who do you think you are? Under 10%.
Of just the people who voted, which was what, like 50%?
I got more Twitter followers than you have voters. I don't go around telling people I represent all the people on. Imagine the arrogance of that. I think Ben has more followers on YouTube than Buyiseni Ndlozi does. Do me a favor. Just shut up, all right? Stop stoking this crap. People want to get along. They got shit to do. Like start up a shirt business. Get a sweatshop going.
Empowering kids.
Right.
Not empowering, but get the gist.
Oh, why do I get so riled up so early in the morning? Well, why am I not?
It's hard to comprehend the stupidity and hatred, Gareth.
Yeah, and you can never get used to it.
No.
Can I tell you something?
We know nothing good can come from it because we're productive members of society.
Well, I don't know. I mean, remember I played George Carlin for you?
Yeah.
I found such a great
this
clip.
This is on Monday.
Yeah. I played a clip of George Carlin. He was talking about he watches people, right? And he thinks they're hilarious. He thinks they're very odd. He said in an interview.
What is going on there?
Sorry.
I don't think that's what he said in the interview.
No. What did he say? Let me just see if I can find this clip. It was so good. I know I liked it on Facebook, so I'm not going to go and look for it on Facebook.
But the gist of it was?
Well, he's basically saying, you know, he's watching the human race, and we're circling the drain pipe.
Mm.
And he says he's not. He doesn't get upset about stuff anymore because he doesn't have any stake in the outcome. And this is before he died. He said, I'm going to go to my grave. I'm going to be happy because I don't care what happens. We're screwed. He says, humans are screwed. He's rooting for the comet to come and take us all out.
Oh, jeez.
That's what he said. Now, I wish I could be like that, but here I am getting upset about Donald Trump and about Ranjeni Moonsami and the U.S. elections and Buyseni Ndlozi and Julius Malema. I mean, none of it affects me.
Do you really wish you were thinking that way?
Yeah, because I'd be able to let go. I wouldn't get upset about this stuff, and you guys wouldn't have to listen to me and think, this guy's also, he's too emotionally invested. I want to be proud of myself and not be emotionally invested. I don't want to get emotional ever again about anything. I want to be like George Carlin and just entertain you.
Then you won't be human.
We can laugh together. So, I'll be better off. Think about it. I won't be attached to the outcomes. I don't have to have an investment in this human thing. Don't you think?
Do you want to log out of life right now? Just like, easier.
Well, no, just watch it. I don't want to be of it. I want to be in it, but not of it. Does that make sense? Nola, you're looking at me like I've totally lost my brains.
No, look, I'm just thinking.
You don't have to be polite.
I'm just thinking that that's a very unrealistic aspiration, if I may put it that way. There's a reason why you have a certain reaction to things, you know? And, sheesh, man, I understand what you're saying. I've been at that point myself because I feel like I care too much about things I really shouldn't care about.
Yeah.
But
why do you get upset about this?
But I don't think that's something you can necessarily change. You just, I don't know, need to manage it better. I don't know.
Need to do a woosa. Calm the hell down. Yeah, I get upset. I read stuff, and I mean, maybe it's because I read, because most of the happy people I know, morons, they don't read. There's a lot of really happy people I know. They go through their lives. Only thing that bothers them is they have family dramas. They didn't win the lotto.
Traffic.
They're worried that they're getting fat. Maybe they're not even worried about that. Jesus, I'm fat. I looked in the mirror yesterday.
Oh no, Gareth, please don't. Gareth.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Gareth.
So fat.
I can't.
No.
Between bringing in
God's sake.
The tweets.
I've got a gunt.
Gareth, now your weight. You need a dose of goodness in your life. No.
You need to create a calorie deficit.
No.
I have a gunt. I'm not going to eat for the next 6 weeks. I'm going to starve myself.
Okay, how about we focus on what's great in your life right now? Can we do
I'm
that?
This is the point. This is why it's so ridiculous that I get upset about stuff. I'm actually happier than I've ever been. My life is good.
But you're pointing out the gunt.
I'm pointing out my gunt because it's there. It's a reality. I've got to sort that out.
Are you pointing it out because you can't ignore it?
Well, anyone else can. When Gareth enters a room, when he enters a room, his gunt comes in first. If this was still Downton Abbey days, it'd be...
No, you know,
it's gunt first, Gareth all right, second.
Okay, everybody, listen, calm down because I don't want you to start thinking I've got like body dysmorphia or any of that shit. I went to the bathroom this morning, as I do every morning, and stood in front of the mirror while I was brushing my teeth. I didn't have a shirt on. And I looked in the mirror. I thought, your days of having anyone want to have sex with you are over if you have that gunt. And I was horrified. I felt a sickness deep inside, and I thought, I'm going to change this. That's good. It's positive. I'm moving. I'm going to fix it. Hey, Sia?
Okay.
I'm not telling you this story because I'm looking for sympathy. I didn't even plan to tell you. It just came up right in conversation. I'm going to fix this.
No, which means it's all in your head right now.
No, it's not in my head. I've got a gunt. I saw my gunt. Do you want a picture of my gunt?
Oh. Gareth, I'm not going to fight you. You've got a gunt.
Thank you, Ben. Ben's the only one who believes me.
I'm the only one that cares. I'm going to give you honesty. Yeah. Honesty is the greatest quality, the greatest gift of all.
So then why didn't you bring it up earlier, Ben?
I thought it was so obvious. I mean, the guy's got perfectly good eyesight. I'm the one wearing glasses, not him.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are not helping the situation right now, Ben.
His microphone technique has changed, because now he's got to crane forward a bit.
Because of the gunt.
Yeah, the gunt.
See? All right.
I don't know anymore.
So much to talk about. We've got a bunch of emails I want to get through. A lot of people have been emailing us, so we'll get to the mailbag. We've got Decrypto, another episode of that coming up today, which is excellent. Now, when we talk about cryptocurrency, many people invariably think about Bitcoin. Maybe you think about Ethereum, right?
Mm. Well.
Any others? Do you still have any crypto, Ben?
That hottie though outside was really into Ripple.
Ripple. Geez, do you remember that? Wow. Ripple was once worth some money.
No, I don't have any cryptocurrency anymore.
You don't have anything?
Nah, I stopped it a while ago.
Right. Well, there are thousands of coins or tokens out there. Thousands. There's Monero, Ripple, Litecoin, Dash, IOTA. This is my favorite episode of Decrypto. We did a little editing on it this week, and you're just going to love this. I spoke to Ricardo Spagni, who's the lead maintainer of the Monero blockchain project. And he spoke about various crypto tokens and Monero, among others, and a whole lot more. So if you have questions about cryptocurrency for our experts to tackle, you can contact at cliffcentral.com with the subject Decrypto, and we will answer questions. We'll get the experts to answer them. So for the final episode, we'll get people like Ricardo. We'll say to him, here are three or four questions from people who've listened to the series. They want to ask you something, and then he'll sit and think about your question and give you a decent answer. Now, how often do you get to tap into what I call adult university in a podcast and ask the expert yourself a question about their field of expertise? It's terrific. So listen to today's episode, and if you have questions afterwards, do me a favor, email them to contact@cliffcentral.com, and we will put them to all of these experts. We'll find the right person in the series that we've spoken to, everyone from the Reserve Bank to massive cryptocurrency fans to investors to traders, and we'll ask them the question that's appropriate to each one. So if you have a question, just say contact@cliffcentral.com and put the subject Decrypto, and we will answer your questions. See? That's what we try to do. Give you a chance to interact. So take a look at that and listen to the next episode of Decrypto today to find out more. All right, let's get into some news. Are you excited about the news?
Very excited, Gareth, right. Yes.
Very good. Let's start with 21 life estimate patients are still missing. Now, God and Allah and Yahweh and Buddha and all of them bless this Jack Bloom from the DA. Everybody who pretends they care about people in this country, I want you to stop and pay attention to what Jack Bloom does. This guy says it's worrying that they have not been found after they've been missing for so long. He's the one who exposed the whole life estimate thing, remember? Hmm. We wouldn't have even known about it if it wasn't for Jack Bloom. This guy deserves, forget the order of Mapungubwe, this guy deserves to be the Minister of Health. He seems to really care about people, and he has not let go of this issue. He did it in the beginning. Everybody said, oh, you know, it might be for political points. I'm sorry. You know, the death of mentally ill people because of gross incompetence and direct negligence from people like Qedane Mahlangu. This guy was not doing this for political points. And if anything, the ANC should be so embarrassed that the last thing they should do is look at who it was that uncovered this disgusting behavior. So 21 mental health patients are still missing, according to Jack Bloom. Hmm. Remember, Qedane Mahlangu terminated a contract with the private hospital saying it had become too expensive to keep them there, these patients. 144 patients lost their lives. Never forget. Democratic Alliance's Jack Bloom says it's worrying that they've not been found after they've been missing so long, these 21 who are still out there in the hinterland. The MEC for Health has said the special investigating unit has been brought in to investigate. This is not enough, but it is good because some of these patients could have died at the NGOs and been secretly buried. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the Gauteng MEC, Lesemang Matuga, says that the department is concerned. Oh, really? So how come we have to hear about it from Jack Bloom? and are pleading with the public to assist them. We once again call on members of our communities or anyone who might have information that can assist the team to trace the missing patients to come forth. They've been missing for a long time. If you know anything, contact the Department of Health in Gauteng, please. All right? Horrible story. It just gets... It never goes away, this life estimony. I told you how upset I was about it when it broke. I continue to be upset by it. Comes up every now and then. I had to go off on a tirade about this life estimony. Listen to this. The South African police have arrested two Danish citizens, a mother and her son, who have been wanted by police in Denmark for fraud involving 247 million rand. Police Minister Bekele announced the pair's arrest when he addressed media in Pretoria on Tuesday. They found them. On the evening of the 30th of October, the mother was arrested by the SAPS at OR Tambo. The son was on a one-way ticket out of the country. 5,000 rand cash on him. Two diamonds were found in his bags that were delivered by his associate. How's this, huh? It's like an international criminal situation. Case. He's appeared in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court and his case will be postponed to November the 8th. On Monday, police pounced on the mother in the plush suburb of Sandton. She had 648,700 rand in cash.
Jeepers. How's that even possible?
It's a lot of money to keep on you in cash. Huh? She appeared in the Randburg Court and her case was also postponed to November the 8th. How's this? A Danish police officer was present as Tele addressed the media in Pretoria. Isn't that interesting? According to the Copenhagen Post, the mother swindled the Danish government out of 111 million kroner over 16 years. So you see that people can rip off the Danish government too. Just when you think our government's the only one you can rip off.
Mm.
She's also reportedly being investigated for suspicious transactions going back as far as 1997. She worked at the National Board of Social Services. The welfare department. Why is it that crooks go and steal from poor people first? It's because they don't think the poor people have power to get them back. Huh? I mean, only one who's got any balls is Bernie Madoff. He stole from rich people. Only one with any balls. The rest of them steal from the poor. Pandemonium broke out in Parliament. The members of the EFF and Democratic Alliance faced off across the floor. Started with a heckle from John Steenhuisen to Julius Malema. Can the VBS bank looter please give us a chance to speak?
that guy's the highlight of Parliament.
Yeah, he's great. Malema responded by?
Racist.
Yes, down. Correct. And race claimed card. He had been accused of rape. You are not going to call me a VBS looter, you racist young white man who was accused of rape. Now, I don't know about this. Has John Steenhuisen ever been accused of rape except by Julius Malema? And I don't know, John... DNA's and wants to rape Julius Malema. That's very odd. The floor quickly descended into a shouting match with chants of racist ringing through the chamber.
Yep.
Okay, let's imagine John Steenhuisen is a racist. That is not as bad as stealing hundreds of millions rands out of poor people's mouths from the VBS bank. Even if you're a fucking rabid racist.
Even if they're in a white coat.
Yeah.
And hat.
I was about to say, what do white coats do? You mean a whole cloak
and Malema's a clan? And here's the story, right? Now Julius Malema's cousin has been linked to this VBS looting.
Really?
The EFF's, their arms are so deep in the trough of VBS. Mm-hmm. And when you say that to them, what do? They respond with racist. Ha.
That's the only defense they have.
Pay back the money.
Let's focus on that.
Pay back the money. How dare you? How dare you? I mean, John Steenhuisen, and you call him a rapist. Yes. From where? This is the first I've heard of that. If you can throw racism and rapist at someone, which is exactly what we spoke about on Monday, what you're really saying is that those two terms don't have any value to you. You just throw it at someone who doesn't have any... I've never heard John Steenhuisen being racist. We had him in here once. He's never said a goddamn nasty thing about anybody from any cultural or ethnic group. Not to my knowledge. You don't like him because he speaks better in Parliament than you. That's a different story. Rapist? Call someone a rapist? I mean, you should be sued for that.
We all know that.
Except if you're sued for it and John Steenhuisen wins, they're going to have to attach... Well, you don't have any assets because they've already... Afriforum already took those from you.
I'm trying to.
You're a derelict person. You don't have any assets. And now, you don't even have standing because you're among the looters of VBS, which has impoverished more people in Limpopo. You do not have standing to call anyone anything, sir. None. Order has since been restored in the house, they say.
Mm. When did they ever have order?
Ay, ay, ay. Joburg EMS are on high alert following a storm. Were you at home when this storm broke out?
Oh, yesterday.
Did you know about it? Yeah. Monday storm.
There was some wind.
Oh, the wind was blowing like a mad thing.
Mm.
Monday's damage to property resulting from a strong storm has put EMS emergency medical services on alert. Gauteng residents have been warned of another severe storm with more rain expected. On Monday, several houses were damaged and trees were uprooted. Yo, following the Joburg storm we had on Monday, when a number of incidents were reported of fallen trees, the city of Johannesburg, together with our disaster management officials, have decided to remain on high alert. Yeah, this is now where it starts getting a little bit crazy with the weather. So keep an eye. And the mayor of, listen to this, Limpopo's Capricorn District Municipality Mayor, that is, what's Capricorn, is that? Polokwane? I think it is. John Mbe has detailed how the entity came to invest $60 million into VBS Mutual Bank, blaming his predecessor, who he said was playing a pivotal role in the move. This mayor provided the timeline in Polokwane on Tuesday to the media to rectify the deliberate distortions and calculated omissions by SACP General Secretary Solly Mapaile about the events that led to the VBS investment. You know, again, this is the South African Communist Party, right? And this mayor is from the SACP. So I reckon all these people who've been fingered in this VBS, just lock them up.
Yeah,
they're thieves. I don't know why we have to go through any more process. Just put them in front of the judge. Judge can listen to the evidence. Judge can decide, and let's do it within a week or two. We can easily get this done in a week or two. Just put them all in jail. No need for any further discussion. And throw away the key, because if you steal from poor people, you are a low life.
It really is the lowest of the low.
You are a low life. You are a filthy, dirty slug if you steal from poor people. Outrageous. And then you have the cheek to stand for public office?
Well, that's where you can steal the most. Of course they would.
Unbelievable. I'm furious with this VBS thing. Gets dirtier and dirtier every day. All right. What do we got? That's about it. Those are the five things you need to know this morning. Bitcoin trading at $6,531. Ethereum has jumped up to a whole $220. Isn't that good news? Well, for those people who are still holding on to some Ethereum and some Bitcoin, yes, it is. They'll take what they can get. It's not quite at the $10,000 value or the $20,000 value that they're hoping for. But you know what? You haven't lost all your money. Let's turn our attention to Ben. What do you got for us today?
The latest in the Champions League, Gareth. Yes. And of course, there's a big Nedbank Golf Challenge this week, and there's some cricket on the go as well.
Okay, very good.
It is that time in the Champions League where teams are going through to the last 16. Barcelona, for instance, they are going through to the last 16.
Yeah.
They drew yesterday with Inter Milan, so that is enough for them to top their group. Look at three other results. Porto, they were very strong versus Lokomotiv Moscow, 4-1. Napoli drew with Paris Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain, everyone just thought they were going to kick on, but nah, it hasn't really happened. Schalke beat Galatasaray 2-1. Atletico Madrid beat Borussia Dortmund 2-0, a huge result for them. And Spurs, while they're clinging on to the slightest of hopes of making it through to the next round, they beat PSV 2-1, pretty lucky in the end there. Red Star Belgrade, they haven't won a Champions League game in probably since moustaches were universally fashionable.
Not just for Movember.
Yeah, they beat Liverpool 2-0 last night. at the Stadion Ratko Mitic.
Right.
Jürgen Klopp asked if he could put a finger on what went wrong on that night. He said, I've only got 10 fingers.
Hmm.
And then Monaco, who with Thierry Henry in charge, well, they're going from bad to worse. They lost 4-0 at home to Club Brugge. Not even a big club, just the Club Brugge. Today, though, we get to see... okay, it's a different tab. Today, though, we get to see the might of CSKA Moscow. That's not Lokomotiv Moscow, it's a different Moscow. They'll take on Roma. These games, South African time, 5:05. Valencia will then take on the Young Boys and probably beat them as well. And that'll be at 5:08 too. Then the rest of the games, all at 10 o'clock South African time. It's late. It must be because they've changed their clocks in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes.
Very civilized societies there. They change their clocks.
Right.
Man City will be taking on Shakhtar Donetsk at the Etihad Stadium. Juventus will be taking on Manchester United. There's some injury concerns for Juventus, but Ronaldo is still there. He will play, and he will want to score. He'll want to penetrate that box of Man United, and he will want to do it all night long. Benfica will be taking on Ajax. Victor Plzen will take on Real Madrid. Bayern München versus AAK Athens. And Olympiakos. Huh? Olympic Lyonnais.
Sure. Olympiakos Lyonnais. What the hell? Throw them together.
French Greeks.
Yeah. Sorry, Ben.
Olympic Lyonnais.
I just need to make a note. Who's versing Real Madrid?
Victor Plzen.
Thank you.
There's shortage of vowels in that one. But yeah, Olympic Lyonnais, they'll be taking on TSG 1899 Hoffenheims. And that'll be all be at 10 o'clock tonight. So exciting stuff in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. In local football, which is of course the PSL, Orlando Pirates are the top of the pops right now. They've played 12, they've won 6, they've lost only twice, they've drawn 4 times, they've got a goal difference of 5, they're on 22 points at the top of the PSL. Last night they beat Polokwane City to get that high honour. But they've played 2 more games than Wits. They've played 3 more games than Bloem Celtic. So it's, you know what always happens with this PSL? You get these massive game differences. I mean, it is November the
7th,
right? So we're into the season. We're into the season.
Right.
Sundowns have played 8. Pirates have played 12. It's because these leagues are all over the place. You know, you get the CAF Champions League, international friendlies. You've got teams that are in the certain cup and certain other cup, but that's a big game difference. So I mean, it's great to be at the top of log at any of the stages of the season, but you can't draw that much into it. So that's where we'll leave the football for today. Now in golf is the Nedbank Challenge, Golf Challenge, which is at Sun City. It is huge. It's Africa's major, and that's not just a bit of marketing mumbo jumbo. It's a really big event. It really is. It's hosted by Mr. Gary Player himself, so that instantly makes it one of the biggest sporting events in the world, not just golf. And then what you got to look forward to from there is a pretty strong European field. Now, I say European field because all the Yanks are playing either in Mexico this weekend, or they're just balling with all their money. They got so much money, just yachts and...
Oh, really?
And orange girls and cars and just everything.
Orange president as well.
Yeah. So the European Tour's finest, without Justin Rose, he's too good for us, Justin. I'm very bitter about that. So Rory McIlroy is coming. He's a big deal. Sergio Garcia is here. Also, big deal. And there's a whole bunch of South Africans. It really is just such a huge thing. Brandon Grace is defending his title that was won at the Mr. Gary Player Country Club. I mean, what more do you want? The golf course is even named after the great man. This is just it's just amazing golf. It really is.
It's like our Holy of Holies. It's
exactly.
Got the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies.
It is. It is. Yeah. It really is, Gareth. It really is. It's like going to Jerusalem.
Amazing.
For golf. And
the Jerusalem of golf.
So today will be a practice round and then all action as of tomorrow. So if you are in and around the Rustenburg area or just general Gauteng, what these guys have done, and I must give them huge amounts of credit for this, is that the Nedbank Golf Challenge has become such an event that is more accessible than ever before. There are amazing transport packages from Johannesburg and Pretoria if you're in the area. For a pretty sort of moderate fee, you can get taken there and back. I know Sun City's almost 2 hours away. It's a bit of a schlep, but it's a great place to go. There's hospitality areas, not just for the fancy wine and diners, but there's general access for public too. So if you go into, I think, the Ticket Pros, there's a whole array of ticket options there for you. It's a great day out. It really is one of these great sporting events in South Africa that you should be proud of. And, of course, see you once in your life at the very least. Brandon Grace, as I said, he is defending champion. There's a whole big cycling contingency there, and there's big players. Rory McIlroy is one of the biggest in the world. He might not be one of the best right now. He's in the world. He's in the top 10 still. But that guy, he draws a crowd. There's so much around that guy's game. He's so exciting. So get on down. That all starts tomorrow. Now, Justin Rose, who is too good to come down to play the Nedbank Golf Challenge, he was world number one this last week. Huge thing. But sitting on his ass this week, he will not no longer be the world number one. Brooks Koepka will straight away just usurp him from his throne. But the interesting thing is that Koepka's not playing this weekend either. This is the strange world golf rankings that nobody can work out. Rose currently has a points total of 10.29. Koepka's got 10.24. But these things work in, I think, two-year cycles. So these points are constantly averaging out by the time that you do play and you don't play and your performances and all that kind of stuff. So it's constantly moving. So although Rose is sitting on his ass along with Koepka this week, Koepka will become the new world number one as of next week. How very confusing. But
very.
But that's sport. You've got to have the quirks. You've got to have them. In cricket news, England, they are playing against Sri Lanka. Now, Sri Lanka is a cricket nation kind of on the downward slide, I guess. They just don't have players coming through. The days of Jayasuriya, Mularitharan, Sangakkara, Jayawardena.
Sure.
All these other people who had more than 10 letters.
See, you know who they are.
Sure.
There's no real sort of development coming through. I mean, we've got Dick Weller, Lakmal.
Of course, Dick Weller.
Hereth is still going. He's 73 years old, is Hereth.
Yes.
So, I mean, he literally is one of those old yogis that
you see. Sounds like a name like Hereth, that would have had to come from like the 1900s.
Well, he is, guys, and that's where he was born. And but they've got no other players to Sri Lanka. So, full name, Hereth. Okay, give me a second.
Take that deep breath.
His full name is Hereth Mudia Nsalenge Rangana Kereti Bandara Hereth. That is his full name.
That's a hell of a name. Do they fit that on a name tag? What does he have on the back of his shirt?
Hereth.
Wow.
He's 40 years and 233 days old.
Bless him.
He's portly, to say the least.
Bless him.
And he's a left-arm slow orthodox bowler, so he's all they got, really. But didn't do much yesterday. He got all of one wicket, unfortunately, for Hereth. But Pereira and Lakmal were pretty deadly up top, and it was England's tail that wagged the hardest in the end. I mean, Burns got 9, Jennings got 46, Ali got 0, Root got 35, Stokes got 7, Butler got 38. So they were looking like they were going to be rolled out. But then Folks is on 95, not out. Curran got 48, Rashid got 35, and Leach got 15. So currently at the crease when the play does resume. 3:30 for 9, and those Anderson and Folks are at the crease. The Mzansi Super League, the biggest.
Yeah, sorry, you're excited about that. Who's my team again?
You are the
Paul Rocks.
Sia is the Tshwane Spartans.
AB de Villiers, something.
Yeah. 9 days, people. 9 days until the Tshwane Spartans and Paul Rocks and Cape Town Blitz and Jersey Stars and Durban Heats and Nelson Mandela Bay Giants. They all get into the action. 9 days. Get your tickets. Start making plans. It's all we got for the summer. I hate to break it to you, South Africans. You think that everything's still going to be amazing. Yes, the priorities are down under right now, decking the Aussies. But the big thing for the start of the summer holidays is the Mzansi Super League. 9 days to go from this very moment.
And Ben, rightly so, you've always said cricket is one of the things about the summer that people like to do. You know, a lot of people are bored. They don't want to sit at home with their girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife. They're tired of them. They go out and watch some cricket, and it re-enthuses the relationship. It gives people energy.
It does, and the great thing about cricket...
Sit in the sun and get drunk.
The great thing about cricket is that it's as intense as you want it to be, because it's like a longer time period. Even with the T20 stuff, which the Mzansi Super League is, you've still got time to go and have a beer and chat with your mates and, like, you know, look around the stadium, have a walk, all that kind of stuff. Rugby and football, you're there, it's done, it's over.
Terrible.
Cricket's great. You can take anybody to cricket. Rugby's quite a niche thing. I can't go there with, like, young kids and that kind of stuff. I want to watch the game. Cricket, though, you can go with anybody because you can pick things up and the scoreboard's always there and there's so much look out for.
Not a lot of drugs. Cricket or gangsterism. Is brilliant. It's quite a good, you know, decent sort of people.
As live sports go, cricket is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And World Rugby still have said absolutely nothing about that Owen Farrell tackle. Andy Good actually had some very interesting things to say. He is an ex-English player. He also played for the Sharks, where he was affectionately known as the Skullet.
They've said nothing?
Well, no, because if they say anything, then it admits guilt. So all they've done is they're very, very quiet. Angus is whisked off the field, and they said nothing. Because if they say nothing, then they believe, well, there's nothing to talk about here. Yep. Let's just move on. See. But there is. And Andy Good, to his credit, he actually, in a podcast prior to the match, said, if Owen Farrell doesn't work out his tackle technique, he could be in real trouble. So Andy Good foresaw this calamity coming through. He said, it's illegal, it's dangerous, he needs to work on his tackle technique. Boom, shoulder to throat, and well, it's just they're not doing anything, of course, because they can't. They can't. Their hands are tied because they can't say anything against England, and will just admit that their staff, their personnel, are mostly incompetent. So we will get no comment from World Rugby there, and as they say, the silence she is a deafening. But I'll get more into the big fixtures on Friday about what's happening in international rugby this weekend. The Boks are playing France. Will they rest players? Even Etzebeth is an injury concern. I reckon they should give him a rest. Will they rest Khaleesi? I know it's only a four-game tour, but that guy's played everything this season for the Stormers and the Boks. He's got to manage these players because next year's a World Cup year. What happens if suddenly there's a knee injury and the guy's gone for 6 months?
Right.
We can't afford this. They're all running in the red zone, these rugby players, at the best of times. They all know what cataflam is. Will Rossi roll the dice with the replacements? It's very difficult because it's a win-at-all-costs culture, is international rugby. And if Rossi loses another one, people will start making mentions about the fact he's making jokes at practice like he did yesterday around the tackle bag thing. But he needs to also work the squad. New Zealand is so good at that because they know they've got three guys per position. Mm-hmm. South Africa don't. Faf de Klerk is back. Mysteriously, he's now available for this tour.
Why? Which, where was he in the interim?
Well, his team, the Sale Sharks, who basically own him, said, you're not playing anymore for the Boks this year. You've done enough. Let's have you here. So now the international window is open. Of course, last week's game, it wasn't open to guys like Francois Lowe and Faf de Klerk. They weren't eligible anyway because of the whole Frank of Mostert as well in that situation. So I don't think they should be playing Faf de Klerk at all during this whole post-season, end-of-season kind of tour. You need to see what the other guys have. And I thought Francel wasn't too terrible at number 9 over the weekend. Mm-hmm. He was efficient and he did his job. Bringing on Imbros Papier for that token 5 minutes of Rudy Page time, sure. Also, it doesn't help anybody. Give these guys a chance. Let's see what they've got. If they should, we move on from them. If they're good, well, that's great. Means more competitive for Faf as well. That is your sport for this Wednesday. More on the Friday.
All right, marvelous. So I've got a special new feature for a Wednesday. We're going to look at the top 10 pornos in the world.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, we'll do that. But we'll do that after 7.
Dating how far back?
No. It's this week's. So it's like a top 10. You know how you would do
current.
A Casey Kasem? Yeah.
Okay.
And here's number 10. I'm going to do all of that for you. Coming in at number 9, up 4 places from last week, it's... Whatever the...
If we're talking pornos, they really are coming in.
Yes, they are. Yeah, you're very funny.
And it's quite fitting for Hump Day. See, I could go on at these.
Oh, stop it. You're such a character. You listen to way too much of Alex J in your youth. Right, take it away, Sia.
It's it has to take it that far.
Said by Sia time.
This morning's Said by Sia is just, for lack of a better term, so cute. There is an elderly man. His name is John Chan.
Elderly people are not cute. I'm starting to doubt your ability to judge cute.
And they smell a bit in the summer.
Wait a minute, guys.
Please. Elderly.
It's really cute.
All right, go on.
John Chan and his wife Stella have been manning this little donut store in Seal Beach in California every day for the last 30 years. It's this tiny little store. Customers love them. They know both of them. And it's a bit tragic, but Stella, John's wife, suffered a brain aneurysm.
It happens to old people.
Shucks. And she's currently recovering in a nursing facility. Now, because they've just been part of their community for so many years, the community has banded up for the longest of time trying to find out how they can help John and Stella in the situation. And at first, as in any sort of 21st century story, they said, no, let's raise money for him. Let's start a GoFundMe account. And John actually said, no, I don't need money. Thank you very much, but rather send your money elsewhere.
Did he say, I don't want your money. Get off my lawn. Is that what he said?
Not his words exactly, but along those lines. And he said, actually, I don't need money. I'd rather spend more time with my wife. And because he's done so much for the community, now every single day, the whole Seal Beach community in California are making a point of making sure they stop by John Chan's donut store to buy as many donuts as they can to sell him out for the day so that he makes a profit and he can go home and take care of his wife. Isn't that cute?
That is beautiful.
Well, Sia, it's fair to say that Stella got her groove back, didn't she?
Has she? Has she improved?
I don't know that far. That's actually really funny. That's an A+ from your point. But I just thought it was so cute. Every single day now, and it's a tiny little store. Everyone is just trying to make sure that they go past where they're on their way to work afterwards, just to stop by John Chan's store, buy a few donuts if they can, so that John can knock off earlier and go and take care of his wife Stella.
I love it. Oh. That's a beautiful story, yeah. And I'm not going to be sarcastic or
like Ben
or an asshole about it. I think it's beautiful.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
that's his advice here for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. Wow, what a nice story. All right, so lots of stuff to talk about this morning. It is a Wednesday, clipcentral.com. We're here to look after you, take care of you, keep you smiling, keep you informed, keep you inspired, keep you entertained through the course of your day. And we may even be able to squeeze in a game of Get Smart later on. Oh, we've got a guest popping by. We've got Donald Chipuma, who is a professional photographer and a foodie. Yeah, it's nice to check in with people who are making their way and creating a bit of noise and excitement around stuff like this. So we'll speak to him. He took part in the last season of My Kitchen Rules SA. He and his cooking partner nearly walked away with the million, but they left the show at the semifinals because those other greedy assholes voted them off.
Oh.
That's always what happens.
always the case.
It becomes vicious. Happened to Brent Lindekew, remember?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Brent was in, Brent and Andrew, they were in season one.
Yeah, I don't care about Brent anymore because he doesn't work here. So.
Oh. And Brent just shrugs his shoulders.
No, of course I do.
Oh,
good guy.
Well, of course you don't. Don't lie.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, lots of exciting stuff coming up. I'll tell you all about that in a short while. Stick around. It's not going to kill you. You're going to be stuck in your car anyway. You may as well listen to us. What, are you going to listen to radio and be bored to death? Want to kill yourself at the Galulis interchange? Hell no. Rather hear things that'll give you a reason to smile, or at least a reason to think, reason to live. Oh. Right?
Derulo. CliffCentral.com.